Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, we are broadcasting as usual from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. And if you are tired of the mega bank experience, and you're only tired of that experience if you're at one of those banks and you know what banks I'm talking about, because that's the experience you're getting. And unfortunately, that really even happens to smaller banks. Here's the thing. Renaissance, I have found, is big enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them, but they're small enough to deliver their services in a personal way. Now, don't just take my word for it. That's the word I get from the clients I refer to Renaissance. So if that's what you're looking for in a bank for your business, go to renaissancebank.com and find one of their local offices and be in touch. And I think you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Tinsley English. Tinsley is the author of Grit, Growth, and Gumption for Women. The subtitle is Three Keys to Lead Yourself and Others with Confidence. Tinsley, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here with you today, John.
I'm delighted to have you here. Let's talk a little bit about you and your work. How are you serving folks out there?
Sure. So I currently serve as an operations leader at an insurance brokerage firm, and I've been in the insurance industry for almost 25 years, coming right out of college into the field. And in my daily role, I have the opportunity to serve women from all over the Southeast in a leadership support role.
Okay, cool. And somewhere along the way, you decided that you wanted to capture all that experience in a book.
Somewhere along the way was probably in the fall of this year. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and God said, Tinsley, I know that we've been pondering a little bit about your thoughts on leadership, but now I need you to put it into paper form and into a book, and I need you to do it really quickly. And when he said quickly, he meant 60 days. So this was a rapid writing technique. And yes, we got it done in 60 days. So needless to say, it was exhausting and exhilarating all at the same time.
I didn't get my book. I didn't even think about my book in 60 days. That's quite impressive.
It was a labor of love. It was a little bit surreal in that I had the stamina to do it after working a regular right. 8-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. I would come up stairs after dinner in what I call my cloffice. It's a part closet, part office. Mm-hmm. And I put my hands on the keyboard and it really just flowed. It flowed out of me till about 10:30 at night. And then Saturday and Sunday, I was back at the keyboard. And wow. No matter where we were, we did take a little break down to the keys over the holidays. And I brought the laptop with me. So it was a very fast winter, and it's a really great time to do it, too, because it's dark outside and cold. And what else are you going to do? Watch Netflix? So I really enjoyed the process. And I told my husband last night, I'm going to write another book next year in the winter. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Good for you. But as we were talking before we came on the air, when you write a book, it's not the most common question you get is, how long did it take you to write the book? And there's a short answer to that question, mm-hmm. which you just gave me. And then there's a longer answer to that question. And the longer answer is, it's a sum of all the experience and ups and downs and successes and victories and valleys that you went through over the years.
It is. It's 25 years of failing forward in life and in business. There's no instruction manual for any of this. There's no instruction manual for life. Mm-hmm. And for me, there was no instruction manual for leadership. So I fell into a leadership role in my early 30s when I was working at an insurance brokerage, an insurance agency, and I had about 3 to 4 young account managers under my charge. And my role to them was really just to delegate work, to oversee that the work was getting done in a timely and accurate fashion. And beyond that was the extent of my leadership training. I was a really great individual contributor as an insurance agent and a broker. My clients really loved me. My producers really loved me. But when I had these young people in my under my charge, I was not a great group leader. I just wanted everybody to do things exactly the way I would do them. Just create a bunch of little Tinsleys. I want you to do your proposals this way. I want you to negotiate with carriers this way. When you talk to the clients, your emails need to look this way. So I gave very little room for individuality and innovation and very little grace for failing. So I could see these individuals trying to do things or insert their flavor in a certain way. Or if they, I've discovered that they had made an error. It wasn't, that's okay. I've done that a million times. It was, oh, you're obviously not ready to handle that yet. Let me take this back from you. So it's not something that those early leadership days, it's not something that I'm super proud of, but I know that everything's a journey and it's something that I can take a lot of lessons from.
I think we all have t-shirts around this, shall we say, right? So I don't think any of us are immune from those making those mistakes. But one of the things that you talk about in your book that I wanted to, this is a good segue into that. You talk about some specific leadership myths that need to be debunked. Let's talk about those that you see that we need to throw in the garbage can.
Sure. So the first is that hard work alone is enough to make you a leader.
Oh, come on. I thought hard work solved everything,
no,
right?
No, hard work is great. And it's definitely one of the cornerstones of being a valued contributor in any sense. But hard work alone is not going to get you there. Being an individual contributor is great. But when you've got other people that you're responsible for, you have really got to look outside the skill sets that got you to where you are and start to acquire a different set of skill sets. And that leads into the second myth that once you get to leadership, your learning is over, because guess what? It's just started. I didn't have the empathy or the emotional intelligence in those early days to meet my team where they were. I actually had very low empathy. I had somebody, an executive coach, do a 360-degree assessment, which included my direct reports, which included some of my producers as well as my husband. I don't know why I threw him in there, but she thought it was important. And I was like, you better be nice. I make your dinner. What I got back was, it was a little bit shocking. And the team knew that I supported them and their work, but they thought that I had really not a lot of grace when it came to them making mistakes or even caring about them in a personal way. So that set me on a journey of self-discovery to understand what I can do to bolster that emotional intelligence. And it's a lot of reading. I took a class at Emory that was amazing to help you understand about resilience and meeting people where they are and the power of vulnerability. So those are just a few of the myths that I talk about in the book.
Yeah. And then you shift in the book toward getting readers to think about North Star goals. So let's define what a North Star goal is and why having a North Star goal is so important.
So a lot of us will arrive at our first day on the job and, or we're checking out a company that we would potentially want to align ourselves with. And we see on their website, these are our guiding principles, or these are our core values. And as you're evaluating a company, or if you're working on a company, are your core values the same or are similar? Are they polar opposites of what you're seeing on the website? Because at that point you need to ask yourself, is this going to be something I can do for the long haul? So some people have never asked themselves what their core values are. And I really want the reader to start discovering that on their own. So I send you through some sample questions of even going back to your childhood of something that made you proud about yourself and what you were doing at that time and who was with you and why was that important. And as we go through a series of questions, I give you a list. I think it's about 50 core values, and you can also fill in the blank if you've got your own. And once we've got those, what are we going to do with them? So I want you to write a personal vision statement of impact. So you think 3 to 5 years out, my name is John. My mm-hmm. core values are generosity, reaching out to the community, mm-hmm. and sharing the message on a wider scale. I'm filling in the blanks for you. Mm-hmm. And I want to do this in my community and make an impact over the 3 to 5 years with this great radio show. So that's what we'd want you to do. And I want you to keep practicing the personal vision statement until it gives you a tingle. It's not just an elevator speech that you spit out. It's something that when you say it, you could tell like your grandmother this and she would see the excitement. I don't want you to just plug something in there. I want you to really feel it when you say it. And so now that we've got that, we've established your core values, we've written your personal vision statement, then I want you to break that down into short, medium, and long-term segments. It's almost, we're reverse engineering on how to get you there. And what are the steps that you need to take today, next week, within the next month, over the course of a year, over the course of the next 3 years, to put you in a place where you still got that tingle. You even have more of it every day because you're realizing it. Because as long if you can write something down and visualize it, it's much more likely that you're going to realize it. And whether you call it fate or manifesting or just divine guidance, I really want people to start bringing that to work with them every day. And I think that really will fuel a sense of motivation if you didn't have one before.
We're here chatting with Tinsley English, folks. She is the author of Grit, Growth, and Gumption for Women, 3 Keys to Lead Yourself and Others with Confidence. So do you think women are setting their North Star goals appropriately, maybe high enough, maybe that they see themselves as capable of much more than maybe the box that they're in right now? What enables them to set a North Star goal that's worthy of the journey is the question.
I think that women just traditionally have set a goal that is less than realistic because they're also visualizing or contemplating or taking into account all the other things that go into their work life. It could be family. It could be having a family. It could be caring for aging parents. It could be responsibilities at church or responsibilities in the community. And as children, we're taught to dream so big. Like the things that people ask us, we say astronaut, nobody would shake their head at us. But if a woman says today, I aim to be the CEO of a company in 10 years, is she taking herself seriously? And is she being taken seriously by the people she's sharing this with? And if she wants to set that goal for herself, that North Star has got to be broken down into a way that she can get there. Does she need to go get an MBA in the industry that she's in? Is the MBA the most appropriate route to get there? So women are less likely statistically to apply for roles unless we feel like we are 99.9% qualified to fill those roles. Whereas men, and these are studies that have been done over, and I think the statistics have been tweaked a little bit over the years, but men are 50%. Yeah, the rest of it, I can figure it out. So the figure it out, I'd like women to have more of that figure it out attitude because we usually do figure it out. As mothers, we don't get an instruction manual to go home with the baby. We figure a lot of stuff out. We figure a lot of stuff out in our early career. So I want women to take a little bit more of a risk on themselves when it comes to dreaming that big North Star goal.
You've had a lot of experience as a mentor with women, both inside and outside your organization. Talk about the importance of having a mentor and selecting a good mentor as your guide here, because your book is great and I highly endorse it, folks. It's a great book. And I had the chance to dive in. I had the chance to dive into it beforehand, which was great. But and you work with people one-on-one. We'll get to that in a second. But there's nothing like having someone that you can bounce ideas off of and they can see things in you that you can't see in yourself, and books may or may not accomplish that. And so talk about just the importance of good mentorship for women.
I think that you can have several types of mentors throughout your career. I have a really good friend, Alexis, who calls it her personal board of directors. So she likes to have a mentor that is within her industry. And I think she's had some that were within the industry, inside and outside of her organization. And then you need to have someone that is the voice of reason. So somebody that if you've got something really tough that you're working through and you need to have confidence in that person, they can help you, guide you in the right direction. And then I think the one that I like to be and is a cheerleader, and I put the leader in quotations. I'm the one you want to come to if you want to dream big, and I am going to push you. I'm a push type of person. I like to be pushed. I like to be pushed out of my comfort zone, and I like to do the same for those that are around me and overcome those limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. Also, what women need desperately that we don't talk about enough is a sponsor. So that is someone that is saying your name in rooms that you're not in. And maybe they're saying your name on a golf course. They're saying your name in a boardroom. You're at a networking event. That person is an advocate for you in that, oh yes, Tinsley did a project for my company a few years ago, or Tinsley spoke to a group of men and women in an organization. And wow, if you're looking for somebody to come alongside you, she's the lady for the job. So you really want to have that advocate that is, it's not just the C-suite level, it's a business leader level. That can be one of those game-changing conversations that gets you to a totally different level in your career. So you definitely want to have a sponsor. And the other thing that people talk about a lot is networking. Mm-hmm. And that is, it can be misconstrued. Networking is more than just gathering at like the local pub for some cocktails after work, and just, we don't really exchange business cards as much anymore, exchanging LinkedIn profiles and calling it good. You need to be intentional about your networking. Where are you spending your time after hours or during your lunch break or at a breakfast? And are those the types of connections that you see are going to foster support of your North Star goal? So I think the combination of mentors, sponsors, and a very strong network can be very critical in helping move you forward. And the insurance industry is a very tight-knit network, especially in Atlanta. I always tell people that you're going to have a reputation in Atlanta, whether you like it or not, in mm-hmm. this industry, because it is so small. Make sure that it's a good one. Make mm-hmm. sure when people say your name, it's in a very positive light, because once it gets out there that it's not in a good light, it can work very much against you. So that's one of the things that I encourage people to do, is go ahead and establish that good, strong work ethic and name for yourself right out of the gate, and it'll carry you forward.
Grit, growth, and gumption, 3 G's.
3 G's.
You're right. Let's walk through these qualities that you want to engender in those that are consuming your work here.
So, John, these three words that start with G are the three keys or traits that I feel have helped me ride the tide in business and in life over the last 25 years. And when we think about grit, a lot of people envision grit as roll up your sleeves, grind, just get it done, mm-hmm. come out bruised and battered, and you got the thing done. It's much more than that. It's a long-term play. It is about adaptability. So say one day you've got to move your show to a different space, and maybe the sound quality is not as great, but you still got the show to put on. You're going to have to adapt, and maybe you're going to have to tweak what technology you're using to get the show back to as good or even better in a different space. That's just the reality of life. Things are going to change. So adaptability is really the first strategy that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And then we get into self-discipline, which is probably the most common strategy that you would employ with grit. Just day after day, doing the same thing. Consistency is so key. Then finally, resilience. And that's a beautiful word. I like the way it rolls off the tongue. Mm-hmm. And I like to learn more about resilience because that is coming back stronger in the face of a setback. It is riding that tide. And we break down some strategies around resilience in the book that I think are super helpful and impactful for women. And one of those is self-care. And when I say self-care, I'm not talking about taking a bubble bath. I am talking about making sure you are making the time to visit your doctors on an annual basis to ensure that your health is in check. Taking 20, 30 minutes to get outside for some sunlight, fresh air, and a walk. We always think that we've got to do some crazy exercise when some of the most fit people are in Europe and all they do is walk around. Mm-hmm. So don't underestimate the power of a good walk, especially to clear your head. Adequate sleep and a proper diet. These are just things that I see women neglecting a lot. And if you're in a season of your life where you're really having to press on at work, taking good care of yourself in just some very basic ways can make a lot of difference. So those are the things that I break down in that chapter of grit. And I'm going to skip over growth because I want to end with growth, but then I want to talk about gumption. So when we think about gumption, we think about decision-making and, mm-hmm. and strategic decision-making. Right. And a lot of people will say guts and gumption, they'll use them in the same framework, saying passion and purpose in the same, where passion is just seems immediate and quick. Whereas guts, that is definitely something that is, I'm gonna jump off this cliff or I'm gonna jump out of this plane. That takes guts, but it's like an instantaneous, quick decision. Gumption is more strategic than that. That is courage for the long haul. And when you think about making decisions in your business or in your career, are you making those in a strategic way? Have I always made them in a strategic way? Absolutely not. Like I've made some real doozies. Some very interesting choices. But as I get older, I do try to take things from a slower, more strategic approach, even as simple as the pros and cons list that we can go back to. The other thing I talk about in the gumption is embracing failure and getting really comfortable with failing forward. We've got this principle of G-force. And so I also have a term in there that I call fail force. And it's the more you fail, the more acceleration you get. And it's the law of large numbers. If you fail more, like eventually things are going to, you're going to have more successes.
It means you're doing something.
Yeah, you're doing something. You're taking action. There was a quote I heard the other day, and it's failure is feedback. Feedback is knowledge and knowledge is power. And I just love that because then it takes the pressure off you. Like, how many times can I fail today? So I love that idea of failing forward, that fail force. And then finally, in the gumption, I talk about the power of vulnerability. And a lot of times as women, when we get into leadership, we feel like we're trying to prove something and that I don't really need to help her because nobody helped me. I had to get here by my own blood, sweat, and tears. And I ask people, like, would you say that about your daughter? Would you say that about somebody you really care about? You shouldn't treat other women that way. Like, we definitely have to lift each other up and say, in this book, for me, I don't want you to have to figure out, you're going to have your own challenges, but here are some things that I did to fail forward. And maybe this won't be as hard for you to learn this lesson. So those are the strategies that I touch on in the gumption. Mm.
And those two feed into growth.
They do. And growth, I leave it last. I didn't put it last in the title of the book because I just think it's a little catchier with gumption at the end. But growth was definitely my Achilles heel in early leadership. And that
Why is that?
It's the lack of emotional intelligence and empathy. That's okay. Where I had to grow the most. And I see it in my business. I see it with women everywhere.
So let's define this because I think some people, including me before I got into the book, think about growth is like it's the outcome of these other things that you're doing. And what you're talking about is your internal growth or your growth as a leader, that kind of thing.
And your growth as a person.
Yeah,
growing your skill set and knowledge of who you are, what makes you tick, what lights you up, mm-hmm. and understanding that. And once you can understand that, you start to recognize in your own teams what lights him up or what lights her up and what makes her tick. And you can start to alter your communication styles on an individual basis with your team to get the best outcomes. I can't communicate with every single person on my team the same way. I've got one lady on my team that I absolutely adore, but when we first started working together, she would send me a 3-page dissertation on an idea. And I said, I love what you're doing. Can we just bullet that out a little bit more? And now we've established this trust and that I've got confidence in her ideas. She'll send me those bullets and she'll provide the supporting argument if we need it, but I'll just say, this is great. Let's run with this. So I think, and that goes back to being a leader that leads individually. And even if you have a large team, you really need to invest the time to get to know your people and who they are so that when you're trying to get the best out of them or when you're trying to get them to talk about something, maybe they're shutting down because something's going on at home, you've already established that circle of trust and you're in their circle of trust. And I'm not talking about, oh, we're a work family, because I have a family and I love them very much. And then I have my work colleagues that I care about in a different way.
Right.
So yeah, that's the growth piece. I just think it was just a really cool life-changing discovery for me when I figured that part out and my outcomes on my team were better. And that's where the concept of G-force came from. G-force, it's a physics term and it's about acceleration. And in the book, I talk about leadership and the journey of leadership as a roller coaster. And so you can either come into this amusement park of life and leadership as somebody that wants to sit on this merry-go-round and be very prescriptive and go around and do the same things and check the managerial boxes and everybody's, you know, doing okay, but nobody's having a great time. Mm. Or you can hop on that roller coaster where that grit is the climb up that initial hill. You're pushing, you don't have any momentum behind you. And then you get it to the top. And that's where the gumption comes in, because eventually the view is nice, but you're going to have to move forward and take action. Mm-hmm. And then the growth piece is in those turns. So you've got that momentum and you're coming up on a big turn and you don't want to fly off the track and you don't want your team to fly off the track. So you've got to really dig in and hold on. And eventually when you're coming around the turn for the second time, that hill doesn't seem so steep because you have the momentum. And then everybody gets off this ride and their hair's crazy and they're a little bit out of breath, but they're going to remember, hey, John was a good leader and I really enjoyed my time with him in business or whatever the relationship was. And that's the legacy that I want to leave. I want people that worked with me to say, that was a heck of a ride. That was a fun ride.
Yeah. Tinsley English, folks, her company is the 3G Group. I like that. And she's the author of Grit, Growth, and Gumption for Women, 3 Keys to Lead Yourself and Others with Confidence. Who is this book for? We know it's for women.
Sure.
But specifically, what women are going to benefit most from your book, you think?
So, John, it was really interesting. When I started writing the book, it was intentionally, like initially, it was going to be a book about women in insurance mid-career. And my 15-year-old daughter said, you can't write a book about insurance. Nobody will buy it. Sounds boring. I'm like, there's lots of really fun, spicy ladies in insurance. But she was right. So what we did, and this is something I love to touch on at the end, I included stories from other women in the book. So I've got about 14 other women who I consider my G-Force tribe, and they're from all walks of life. So we've got someone that was an immigrant and now is in public service. Mm-hmm. We've got somebody that is a flight nurse on a helicopter. We've got someone that's exited corporate America, and now she coaches business leaders in a way that they get out and hike. They hike through mountains and deserts, and they solve problems as they're hiking. So there are so many women in this book that support the strategies with their own wisdom. So the book is not just for women in insurance anymore. It's for really women in any industry. And I would say it's resonating very much so with those emerging leaders that have maybe stepped into a new role where they've got new reports and they don't feel like they've got an instruction manual. But it is also resonating with women that are considering retirement in a few years, but this is not their last chapter. They want to try something else. And that's where that gumption comes into play, because you're going to need that. You're going to need to explore your next step. And that's going to take getting out of your comfort zone.
And you obviously wrote the book for those that want to be able to consume these ideas in a few hours of reading time, but you work on a much deeper level with women and groups that are addressing the issues that women have. So let's talk about that.
Sure. So the book is definitely designed to be a workbook. You work through it. There's a free downloadable workbook PDF that's really beautiful that you can write your thoughts and your goals, and you can print it off as many times as you want. So you take it today, you take all the assessments and everything today, and then maybe 6 months you say, I want to print the workbook off again. And then you have a stack of these little workbooks so you can see your progression. And there's a few ways that I like to work with women, and that a keynote speech is a great way to get people inspired, whether if they've read the book or we're giving the book away at those events. It's more of a rally. It's fun, and it's getting people really excited. The other way I can work with people is just on a one-on-one coaching basis. Maybe they want access to me and individual attention. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of organizations out there that need help with their female business strategy and building, whether it's a colleague resource group or they don't even know where to begin to start to bring their females together and start identifying, is it emerging leaders? Or do you have emerging leaders as females, or do we need to work on some strategy around that? So there's a couple of different ways that you can work with me.
Success stories. I'd love it, Tinsley, and I'm sure our listeners would, if maybe you could share a success story that helps illustrate the great work you're doing.
Sure. One of the most recent success stories is a lady that I work with that's in the education field. She's an educational consultant, and she was one of the early readers of the book, and she is using the principles of grit, growth, and gumption in that education right now and sharing it with other educational consultants to work through challenges. So, you know, the book is pretty new, but I'm seeing people starting to apply the principles of G-Force in so many different industries that it's very much exciting.
That's terrific. Tinsley English, folks, her firm is the 3G Group, and her book is Grit, Growth, and Gumption for Women, Three Keys to Lead Yourself and Others with Confidence. What great work. I'm just delighted we could share this work and highlight it and get the word out on what you've done here.
Thank you, John. And I just want to leave your listeners with one more thought. This book, we have a goal for this book, or a commission for this book, and we want to get the book, the message, into the hands of 1 million women by 2026. So that is a very big lift, but I'm super excited, and I know that we can get there so that we can start to all start to use the same framework and language and messaging collectively to really change the narrative on what female leadership confidence looks like.
That sounds like a North Star goal to me.
It is.
Imagine that. Where did I get that term?
Love it.
Yeah. Before we let you go, though, I've got the most important question is, for those that would like to know more, would like to touch base with you, maybe work with you, hear about your services, and learn more about the book, how can they do that?
Sure. They can go to my website. It is www.gritgrowthgumption.com.
Terrific. Tinsley English, thank you again for joining us. You're terrific. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much, John.
Yeah. Hey, folks, just a couple of quick things before we let you go for today. I want to alert you to the great work at Casanova Italian Restaurant. If you are in the North Fulton area and you know about Casanova, you're probably in the majority. If you don't know about them, you need to. CasanovaRestaurant.com is the website, and they're located on Highway 9, just north of McFarland, and they are terrific when it comes to Italian food. They were farm to table before farm to table was cool, folks. They've had the garden behind their place for years, and they've got fresh made pasta, fish, beef, all sorts of great Italian, traditional Italian dishes that I think you'll love. They also do wonderful catering events as well. So again, if you want to know more about the great work they're doing. Go to CasaNovaRestaurant.com. You can also call them at 770-475-9100. Also, I've got a book out. It's called The Generosity Mindset, A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. If you're a professional services provider and you are having issues around expressing your value, your confidence in that value, and then pricing your services, this book may be for you. Go to thegenerositymindset.com to learn more. And also, I just want to thank you, our listener. We've reached show, I think, number 767 or something like that here recently. And I'm just, that just blows my mind because I did not expect us, I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect to get to that point 8 years after we started this studio. We've done that because of you. You continue to support us. You share the show. You like us on social media and send encouraging comments and guests to us. And we appreciate all of that work. So thank you for that. Keep it up because you help us realize our mission to be the voice of business in the North Fulton region. So for my guest, Tinsley English, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.